when you get into a relationship, once you come out of it, you're basically like emotionally stunted from whatever age you got into that relationship. So when they say that like COVID made people feel like they lost years of their life, and it's like, what do you mean? I'm just a 25-year-old teenager. It's like, no, I actually felt like that. At 20 something, I've genuinely felt like just like a 19-year-old.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome to part two of this week's main episode that I guess you could consider a bonus episode, because this is all of the lessons that this week's interviewee learned from her couple year long relationship that ended in not so great of a way. If you haven't listened to the full episode, be sure to go check out the main episode that came out on Tuesday. This is the follow up, the bonus part, if you will, that includes all of her insight and the lessons that she learned after getting out of that relationship and getting her ass into therapy. Here we go. I want to hear about your therapy journey, though, because it sounds like this was a pretty devastating relationship and a devastating breakup for you.
Yeah.
I think maybe less about mourning the relationship and more about mourning what you wish you could have done or how you wish you would have shown up in this relationship. Yeah. So tell me more about your therapy journey and what your therapist taught you.
I will say one of the first things was having to validate myself and the experiences that I had. Because some of these, I didn't even tell you like half the stuff that I dealt with. And when I was telling my therapist these things out loud, because she was the first person that heard any of it, I wasn't even telling my friends because I was so embarrassed. And like this stuff didn't even come out until probably years after, where I finally said, yeah, you know what the ex that I talked about? So this is actually what happened. And they're like, you kept that just inside you? And I was like, yeah. And it was just because when I was going through these events with my therapist for the first time, I had to ask myself, does that really happen? Like, did I really experience that? Because again, he was so good at gaslighting and I was so isolated. I didn't even know what my reality was. And so as I'm telling my therapist these things, I would stop and be like, did that really happen though? And she'd be like, yes. And there's absolutely no way that you could just make that up in your head. And that was really sobering. Because it was kind of like, oh, you're right. And now that I've said that out loud, that's fucked up.
Well, these narratives we build in our head when we're not there in the moment and we don't have someone to ground us based off of like their observation, like having a completely outside influence, a third party to look at the facts and go, that's messed up or that's what happened, sometimes is the most healing thing, because then it just reminds you that, oh, every mental gymnastics routine I've done in my head trying to justify this or figure out what happened or trying to see things from his side. Like, no, this outside party is looking at me and saying what I'm going through is real.
And we went back to even like the fundamentals of like a relationship kind of thing. Because I felt like there was a lot of resentment within myself, because as I was getting out of this long-term relationship where I lived with a man and my friends around me were, you know, moving in with their like significant others and getting engaged and getting married, I kind of felt left out, because it was like, well, here I am back at my parents' house. I'm in grad school, so I don't even have like a paying job yet. I'm single. I mean, I have my friends and I'm slowly starting to build my community and starting to build my friendships, but I still felt like a shell of a person. And it was just a lot of time where I had to think to myself, like, what do I want for myself? And it took me a really long time to get there, because I had to just wade through everything that I was going through and realizing, okay, this actually happened to me. And yes, like to some degree, like it could have played out better, but what can I do about it at this point?
Nothing.
I kind of had to just accept it for what it was and then decide, how do I want to move on from this? Like, am I going to completely lock myself up inside? Which I did for a first good bit there. Don't get me wrong.
And like, sometimes you need that. Yeah. Like, you need the period of just coming to terms with everything.
Yeah.
And trying to move past any shame that you feel or any ill feelings about the situation and realize like the only thing you can do is move forward.
Yeah. And so I was kind of having to figure out myself at the ripe age of like, what, 22? How old are we when we graduate college? Like 22?
Yeah, 22, 23.
Like at that age in my early 20s, having to completely figure out who I am. And I like remember seeing these things on social media and like just like reading things about how like when you get into a relationship, once you come out of it, you're basically like emotionally stunted from whatever age you got into that relationship. So when they say that like COVID made people feel like they lost years of their life, and it's like, what do you mean? I'm just a 25-year-old teenager. It's like, no, I actually felt like that. At 20 something, I've genuinely felt like just like a 19-year-old. Mm. Or whatever.
Is that something your therapist told you?
She did. And it was just kind of, I was like, well, I'm just trying to have a fun time. It's like, but you do realize you're kind of just doing the things that you would have been doing when you were 19, when you got in this relationship. Like I was going out with my friends. Like I was just kikiing with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was entertaining in my extracurricular time.
you were having some male callers, some gentlemen callers.
Yeah.
But can you explain to me, because I've never been in therapy for a traumatic breakup like this. What does it mean to be emotionally stunted when you get into a relationship? Like, do you just stop growing, or the trauma of the relationship sort of stunts you? Explain that to me.
So it's both. So like the trauma of the relationship itself kind of just like made my like self, like my stress response just like freeze. So like instead of handling, you know, a stressful event, like how like a more mature, like early 20s person, like how I would handle something now, I just froze. And that was it. I didn't know, like the world just became about me. Like nothing around me mattered. And so I was just trying to basically learn how to walk again, but like nobody else mattered. It didn't matter that there were these people around me that were trying to help me. It didn't matter that these people were trying to give me any kind of advice. I didn't want to hear any of it because that's how I kind of was at 19. Mm. Like I didn't want to hear any criticisms. Like I just wanted to believe that the world was about me. Like I had that main character energy. And so I was just like, I almost like resurrected it just a little too early, I guess. But also because like that relationship didn't suit me and like it didn't help me grow as a person. I was just stuck. Like there was no growth in that relationship because I didn't have room to grow. I wasn't encouraged to grow in that relationship. Like I truly left that relationship feeling like I left an even worse person than I was going in. And granted, the person going into that relationship was a summer B party girl. Like,
oh my God. So you're just frozen as like the most chaotic gremlin version of yourself.
Absolutely. Because when I started grad school, I was like fully dragging my grad school friends out. So like we'd go and have our little study group dates, but then I would like bring a whole outfit and I'd like change and be like, okay, like we're going to go out now.
But I mean, to an extent that is a normal early 20 somethings response to living life. I mean, up until you, I feel like it doesn't get sad until you're like 35. I don't know.
I hope not. Everybody tells me the 30s are way better.
I've heard the 30s are fun.
I'm looking forward to it because I'm like inching towards it. And like now I'm at a point where I'm like, yeah, I'm going places that this man could never afford to take me even today. Therapy was honestly so exhausting that summer because I actually had to go to a therapist that specialized in trauma. Mm. Like people, you know, it was interesting because I was here like, oh, I just came out of like a traumatic relationship. But then there are these people that come and like they truly experienced life-altering events, as if I'm saying that as if I didn't. But
no, let's be real. If what you're saying is true and you're telling me that this man chased you with a machete,
yeah,
like I don't, that's terrifying. Yeah. Because that is the person you should feel the safest with. And for them to put your emotional and physical safety in danger is traumatic.
Yeah. But I didn't recognize that at the time because I didn't have time to grow as a person and how I perceived my life events. I was just kind of like, okay, like this is what happened to me. This is it. Like there was no depth to anything that I was feeling. It was just, this is what happened. And this is how I perceived it. I think.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, like you said, if you're in a situation where you're being gaslit, sometimes it takes somebody on the outside telling you that somebody's moving the gas lamp. Like somebody is, need someone on the outside to tell you what's happening so that you can recognize it for what it is and then be able to heal from it.
Yeah. So like therapy was just exhausting when I first started it because mind you, it was only the stuff that had happened in that relationship. And I think it took me as much time as I was in that relationship to reconcile with the fact that I was in that relationship. So like I was in it for like 2.5-3 years. It probably took me 2.5-3 years to finally be like, okay, like this is what happened. This is how far I've come. Like this is all the stuff that I've done. And like, it was a lot of growing pains. Like I was going through a lot of friendships. A lot of friendships were ending. I had to figure out what I kind of wanted. You know how I was joking about how like I had like been with that guy that was just like, oh, I can't be what you want. And it's like, bro, I don't even know what I want. Mm-hmm. I truly didn't. I was taking this time after therapy to figure out, okay, what is it that I actually want for myself? And once I kind of got past the bulk of that, I got to go to a less specialized therapist where it was just like a lot less heavy all the time. I actually started EMDR, which is very interesting. And I learned that like I have ADHD, which makes a lot of sense now because like my ex and I used to get into fights all the time and I would just kind of be like, no, I don't want to do this right now. It's like, I have other things that I want to think about. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot more sense now in hindsight that I like learned about myself. But again, like I needed to figure that out. And I didn't have that opportunity when I was in this relationship. And I kind of had to learn like in a safe relationship, whether it's like with your friends or with your family or with a significant other, like you have to feel safe to grow as a person. And that was probably one of the harder things for me to accept because of course my parents are going to love me regardless of what I do and regardless of what growing pains I go through. But then there are the friends that are like, you know, you're going through all these different phases of life. who are the people that are going to stick around as you're going through these growing pains? And thankfully for me, like, I feel like now, like, I've built the friendships that are going to stick with me for a very long time. And they've kind of seen me go through all these growing pains and figure out what I want and need. And they understand that the person that I am now wasn't necessarily the person that I was like 5 or 3 years ago. And I'm glad that I'm at this point now, because like there was a point there where it was so hard to see my friends, you know, pairing up and moving on with their lives. And I was just kind of stuck. And now I'm at a place where I'm genuinely happy for my friends that have gotten married and like are expecting babies or are like me and like living their single life and traveling and just like working so that we can travel kind of thing. I think it says a lot now that like I can genuinely be happy for these people, because I used to look at these people with so much resentment in myself. It wasn't even jealousy towards them. It was resentment with myself. And it was like, what could I have done to be in that position? Like, what could I have done to make somebody love me enough to marry me? But now I'm kind of like, yeah, so I love myself and I'm very at peace with the silence that I create for myself. And I love the people around me, and these people around me, I know, support me through everything. So I'm okay. It was just interesting because like it was like an ebb and flow. Like I was really, really good for a little while. And then like I kind of opened old wounds by like being in contact with some of the women that he cheated on me with and kind of rehashing all of that. But it got better each time. And it was hard each time. Should I have done it? I don't know. I don't regret it, though. I don't regret talking to these women at all. It's just very interesting to see how like these timelines match up and be like, oh, like my intuition was correct. So I guess this whole thing was just a big lesson and just trust your gut.
That's funny that you say that, because I was about to bring up something that you said in this podcast that a lot of the women that I've interviewed have said. So trust your gut is always like the big lesson. I'm always like, what's your advice for someone who went through this? And they're like, trust your gut. Like your gut is never wrong. But the two main reasons that I hear over and over again about why people stay in these relationships that from the outside, I'm like, that sounds horrible. The first one is that it's the sunken cost fallacy. Like they put in so much effort and time into this relationship that they don't want to lose any benefit that they could get, like marriage or kids or any of these things that they want. Or the second thing is what you said was that you didn't think you deserved any better. And I've talked to therapists about this because it's so common that I'm like, okay, well, how can I bring the solution to the women? Like if it's a self-worth problem, then we're going to figure it out. And I don't think I've ever really gotten a clear answer from a therapist on how you can build up your self-worth to be able to know that you do deserve certain things in a relationship. Because I think people hear relationships are hard, and then when they're hard, they're like, well, this is just how it is. So talk to me about your relationship now with self-worth and how you got to a place where you feel like you love yourself enough to expect things from a relationship.
It's kind of funny talking about this because I was literally a psychology major in college, and you would think that I would like somehow psychology myself into figuring out the downfalls of my relationship, but here we are.
I'm going to cure myself with my own degree.
1000%. That didn't work out that way. I don't really even use my degree that much anymore other than for a couple like side quests here and there. The hierarchy of basic needs. You have to start with the things that keep you living, eating, breathing. So I had to truly start from the ground up. It literally was like learning how to walk again. So I had to learn how to take care of myself because I had all these years where I wasn't really taking care of myself because I was just so stressed all the time. And I had a man who didn't want me going to the gym because I don't even know why. He never really gave me a reason. He said, well, who are you trying to look good for? And again, he played it off as coming from a place of love. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think much of it. You know, I really was not taking care of myself in college, and it reflected in my mood and how I perceived myself. And so I kind of just had to start there. So like I was going on more walks, and then these walks gave me time, unfortunately, to be inside my own head. And so I got more into like podcasts, and you know, I was kind of just a sponge. I was going back and listening to Taylor Swift music that I had to kind of put on the back burner a little bit, and watching these TV shows that I kind of had to watch in secret. Like, I think one of the worst things about that relationship was the things I was hiding from him were the things that I was like just consuming as a person, as like a young woman. Like I was hiding the music I was listening to and the TV shows I was watching. And I realized this man knew nothing about me. Like he definitely had no idea what shows I was into, what music I was into, because it was always about him. We would watch the shows that he wanted to watch. We would listen to the music that he wanted to listen to. We did everything that he just wanted to. Like he never got the chance to get to know what I wanted. And to come out of a relationship after 3 years and realize, man, he knew nothing about me is insane. The fact that your partner who you lived with knew nothing about you, mm-hmm. because you lost yourself so much in that relationship that not even your own partner knows anything about you. And that was sobering. So I was kind of just kind of getting back to myself, and I was rekindling like old friendships with my friends and kind of seeing like, okay, like where can we go with this? Thankfully, like those friendships that I rekindled are still friendships that I have to this day. And I'm so grateful for all of that. But it kind of really, unfortunately, starts from the bottom up. And sometimes you really have to put in the work. There were a lot of lonely nights. Mm-hmm. And again, like I was doing things that were kind of questionable and like emotionally checked out for those things. Did I hurt some people in the process? Probably. Like I'd be lying if I said I wasn't hurting anybody's feelings. Especially some of these people that were on the receiving end of my extracurricular activities. Sorry to Mr. I couldn't be what you wanted or whatever. Or
sorry to this man.
Sorry to many of the men, unfortunately. They were all...
sorry to men in general.
Yeah, sorry to men in general. I will say, though, that that dating pool at that time was probably peak compared to how it is now. Mm-hmm. Because they were actually genuinely like good people for the most part, at least from what I was willing to receive from them. And I was just not there emotionally at all. At all. Not even close. I was busy healing that part in therapy. Everybody got every other part of me though.
Yeah.
But you really like, I don't know, like I was starting to make new memories, kind of rewriting like the old memories and stuff. Like I wanted to go back and do things that he did that kind of tainted memory. Like I went back to Disney with my friends instead of having, oh, the last time I was at Disney, I was with him. Like I was just slowly like rewriting things, but then I was just like, was doing new things. You know, I finished grad school, landed my dream job at the time, things that he didn't necessarily want me to do. I kind of, spite is a very powerful thing because I feel like a lot of things I was doing, it's like, oh, he would hate it if I did this. And that was unfortunately kind of my motivation for a little while there, but it worked.
Whatever it takes to get you there.
It's like, I hate to say it, but it worked. Like the spite propelled me enough that I achieved a lot of the goals that I wanted to achieve. And now I'm at a place where it's like, wow, I've done so many of these great things. I have so many of these people around me that I just genuinely love and they love and support me. And like, I no longer feel alone, even though granted, there are a lot of nights where, you know, I'm very comfortable having dinner with myself and solo traveling. And everybody's like, oh, well, that's so lonely. Like, don't you want to go with somebody? It's like, well, honestly, I love myself and I am comfortable enough with my own company that I'm very okay doing these things. And I love doing these things with myself just as much as I enjoy it with company. And it's taken me a while to get here, but I finally feel like at peace with myself. And granted, like I still do see my therapist from time to time because we just really need to touch grass every now and then.
Yep.
And this is how we do it. But it was a lot of years of just reflection and thinking and being like, okay, what do I actually want for myself? What do I need? Because these things that these men were like, oh, like, what do you need from me? Like, what can I do like to, you know, make us official? It's like, bro, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. And now I'm like slowly figuring it out. And so we're doing a little bit better for the most part, I think.
It sounds like you've accomplished and overcome so much in this therapy journey. That sounds, like you said, exhausting. Yeah. Having to go through and relearn everything and feel like you have to figure out how to become a person that matches your emotional age is a lot of work. So I'm wondering from your perspective, what are you most proud of from your therapy journey of what you've been able to learn, relearn, or overcome?
I think maintaining boundaries, because wow, that was a really quick answer. I'm kind of surprised at myself there, but I'm gonna stand 10 toes down and say maintaining boundaries, because it was so easy for him to chip away at me and gaslight me and isolate me because my boundaries were like overcooked spaghetti noodles. Like they didn't really exist. Like I was just so pliable. He would tell me something and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, like, I don't think this man really heard the word no from me, because I was honestly like, I don't think like in a relationship, like you should be doing this wrong. We need to have backbones, ladies. Okay. Must have backbones. But the maintaining boundaries part, and like sometimes that means letting go of friendships that you've treasured for a little while. And I remember like I had a really good friendship blossom in that like era of after my breakup, like through grad school. And it was so hard for me to let go of that friendship because I realized that like I was kind of losing myself in that friendship. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of becoming like the yes girl. Like I was kind of like, I perceived it as me being a good friend to her. And I don't even think that she really saw it as that. And so I had to accept like, okay, this is kind of a one-way street here. I need to respect myself enough to step away, even though it hurts me. And I feel like I'm going to lose a lot by losing a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. But sometimes like it is really just as easy as saying no. And somebody will be like, oh yeah, okay. So now as a person, I'm kind of like, if somebody tells me, no, I don't want that, I'm like, okay, cool. It's great. That's it. And we move on. And sometimes it really is that easy. And so I told myself, like, if this is how I perceive the situation, like, hopefully, like, they kind of perceive it the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I am not shy about, you know, not behaving a certain way for certain people or putting on a certain facade for certain people or responding in a certain way. And it's like, yeah, like, I'm sure your party will be so much fun, but respectfully, I'm so exhausted. I really don't want to go. And I'm going to be a terrible time if I show up.
You have to know, like, when you're able to be your best self. And if that's like, if it's not tonight, then it's not tonight.
Yeah. And just accepting that. And even in friendships too, it's like, hey, like, you made me feel a certain way. And it's very interesting now because, like, what I perceived as conflict when I was in that relationship, just bringing up like, hey, you did this and you made me feel this way. Mm-hmm. And now I have friends where, like, if that happens, it's a very productive conversation. It's like, I'm so sorry that I made you feel that way. Like, there's no placing blame. And then we move on as adults. And that's so different. And sometimes it's a little jarring because it's like, wait, like, that conversation worked out way better than I thought it was going to work out. And then you're kind of like, is there a catch? Uh-huh. Is there not a catch? Are there strings attached? And that was something I had to let go of.
Yeah.
You know, when things actually work out my way and I had to kind of stop being like, oh, like, what's the catch? Like, where are the strings that are attached to this? Because realistically, there were no strings. Like, the people around me are not going to add a stipulation to anything they do or say to me. And that was really hard for me to learn. Yeah. But that comes with, like, maintaining your boundaries too. It's like, if you have the boundaries, you'll have those people and you'll feel safe and supported.
And safe to grow. I think that's an important, when you said that, that really clicked with me because there are so many friendships that I have had and over, you know, stupid conflict or whatever. And, you know, you look back and you wonder, like, well, could I have handled that better? But at the end of the day, like, if you don't feel safe to grow and have those growing pains to become a better version of yourself, like, if you've unknowingly hurt somebody and someone leaves when you, quote unquote, mess up or do something unintentionally, it's not a safe place for you to grow.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people are relating to your relationship experience with this man and, you know, the stuff that you said about your friends and the boundaries. So what's some advice you would give somebody who recognizes themselves and is like, oh my God, this is my boyfriend. Like, my boyfriend did X, Y, and Z just like that. What's some words of encouragement or advice that you would tell them to help them, as you said, touch grass and kind of understand what's really happening in their relationship?
I think one of the hardest things, like, coming out of that relationship and trying to figure out how to get out was, where do I go? Like, who do I go to? And even if you have just one singular person that you think may or may not help you, just reach out to them. They will surprise you, or they might not surprise you. I don't know. You don't know until you ask. And because a lot of my hangups was, like, I figured out the financial part with that surprise grant money. Like, I figured out the logistics of what I was going to do. I kind of had my mom in a corner, but she really couldn't do anything without revealing too much to my dad. So I was kind of just stuck. But I had that one friend. I literally love her to death. I would do it. I've been trying to get a signed copy of the CD for her and I've been failing miserably. But that one friend who we weren't even, like, really besties at the time. We weren't, like, kikiing, like, in our free time or anything. She was just somebody that I would trust with things here and there. But she was the one person where I was like, okay, I'm just going to take a leap of faith and hope that she can help me. And she did. She didn't even ask questions. She did everything that she needed to do for me without even realizing that was what I needed. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, not really a straightforward answer, but it's like, it's okay to seek help.
Yeah.
And it's okay to reach out. And even if it's somebody that you think, like, oh, like, I haven't heard from you in 5 years, like, why would I help you? They would surprise you probably. Because sometimes, like, things have to be born out of desperation a little bit. I don't know. I wouldn't wish that situation on anybody. Like, I think being lonely in a relationship is one of the worst things that you could possibly be. Like, I would rather be lonely by myself than lonely in a relationship. It's miserable because you're supposed to feel safe and you're supposed to feel supported. You're supposed to feel like you have joy to pair with you, but you don't. It's sad. And I don't wish that on anybody. It's terrible. Almost sometimes I'm like, oh, I kind of needed that little bit of humbling there because of the main character moments that I was having. But I don't wish that on literally anybody. So, like, you know, if they recognize this themselves, like, I hope that they have somebody that's in their corner, even if they don't realize that this person is in their corner.